punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you had a good time. I was just listening to some of the stories from picking in the park last night, the putt-putt and all that other good stuff. Looked like the park was full, so everybody had a good time. You missed out. There'll be another one next year, and they said it was really good. So today and tomorrow is the Christmas in July festivities. And get into the Penny News or get on the KCO's Facebook page. You can find out what all's going on. 35 years. This is the 35th one they've had. You know why I know that? Because my old buddy called me this morning and reminded me that we were on stage that first one. We just got back. We hadn't been back a week or two from Desert Storm. Colonel Hobb, our battalion commander from the 158 out of Lawton, was there. I think there was 25 or 26 soldiers in that picture. I don't remember. So Christmas in July, you get a chance, go out there and check that out at Foss Lake starting today. Big schedule going on today and tomorrow. Dean Jackson will be playing. He's probably one of my favorite local bands from Western Oklahoma, so it's all good. Well, let's check out some temperatures in our big old world of agriculture in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. There's a hot spot up there. I don't know what's going on up there in northwestern Oklahoma, but it is 93 degrees at Freedom, 92 at Buffalo, and 91 down here at Eric. But it's just warm. There's a big old warm spot up there. Lahoma, you're 92. Beaver, you're 86. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, we got 90 at Lipscomb, 89 at Dozer. Wellington, you're 85. Childress is 86. And 85 at Odell, south of the Red River Bridge down there, straight south of Altus. Okay, I got a really nice surprise. One of my old buddies up at Arnett. I shouldn't say old buddies. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. One of my friends up at Arnett hooked me up, and we got Roger Wan with the NCBA going to be on to the show today, starting here in the second segment. We're going to be talking cattle, what's happening in the world of Angus, and any updates on maybe the New World screwworm and all that other good stuff, and if it's affecting the market at all and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that coming up. So first, let's see what happened in our big old world of agriculture. I looked at the board a while ago. The grains are just stinking it up. The cattle are crazy. And there was a big crowd at the Elk City Livestock Auction when I drove by there this morning. And then people had some watermelons. I noticed the vegetable stand had a trailer load of watermelons. Better hurry if they're not already out there. And, okay, wheat futures were lower in overnight trading. Corn and soybeans were a little changed ahead of today's supply and demand reports from the USDA. Higher wheat stocks are possible in today's world agriculture supply and demand estimates report from the agency. I've checked. I haven't got any yet. I'm sure. Surely it's out by now. Old crop corn exports are expected to rise, and new crop output may be down a little bit. No adjustments for new crop demand or yield are expected. The soybean balance sheet should remain little change. Wheat prices were also capped in overnight trading as farmers in Kansas, the largest U.S. producer of winter varieties, have found favorable yields as the harvest rolls on. Despite early drought, uneven stands, and losses to wind streak and some other viruses, some farmers are reporting better than expected yields, with test weights and protein levels starting strong before tapering off due to the late rains. Same thing here in Oklahoma, exactly what happened. The industrial group reported that one Western Kansas farmer said he's been seeing improved yields, while in Northwestern corner of the state, yields were a little lower than originally thought. Wheat for September delivery fell 2 pennies to 552 and a half a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 3.5. Corn futures for December down a penny to 415 and a half. Soybean for November dropped 2.25 to $10.11 a bushel. Soy meal was up 20 cents to $285.50 a short ton. And soybean oil fell 0.26 cents to $53.21 a pound. Floods, warnings, and watches have been issued for counties in eastern Nebraska, much in Iowa, and parts of northwestern Illinois. We got storms moving in here, and maybe late tonight, but it looks like it's going to rain all day tomorrow, according to the weather forecast. Now, they've already backed off a little bit on rain next week. They still have chances in every day, but it's went down to 20 to 30% versus 40, 50, and 60%. And then again, next Friday, a better chance of rain. Just if you're planning something to go on. Let's see what the board is actually doing right now before we go to break, because Roger and I might take up the rest of the show. If you got any questions for Roger while he's on the show, 580-225-9697 is the hotline for the Day in Ag text line. And get that going. Got any questions you would like to ask him? That'd be cool. All right, let's see here. Did it refresh? Did it refresh? Yes, it did. September corn, 397, down 2.25. Soybeans for August, 1006, down 5.75. Soybean meal, August, 270, even, down 140. Soybean oil is up 52 to 54.01 cents for August. And hard red winter wheat, September, 528, down 6.5. December's down same amount, 6.5 to 551. Looks like oil out of West Texas is creeping closer to that $70 a barrel mark. August is 68.29, up 172. Natural gas is up just a fraction, and it is for August 338. And the NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P are all in the red, slightly, but they are in the red. Live cattle and feeders, whole different ballgame. August lives, 221.77, up 255. October, 219.25, up 217. Feeders for August, 323.77, up 250. September's 323.75, up 252. And October's 321.55, up 242. And lean hogs, August, 105.42, down 80. And October's 91.50, down 70. 7 cents. So there you have it. That's the updated version of what's going on. I'm going to ask this question again. I asked it yesterday and I got a couple responses, because I know everybody's having this issue. Is anybody got a remedy for red ants in big fields, not around your house or the barn or whatever, to kind of help control them? Because they are, I was talking to my buddy while ago over there by Foss Lake, pretty close to the Foss Dam. Looks like it's got the plague or the measles. There's that many red ant beds out into a farm field. So if anybody's got anything, we had one that they mixed something with some dry fertilizer and put on there. It doesn't get them 100%, but it really messes them up, slows them down, and then you can go through there and individually doctor some of the beds that did make it. I'm finding out what that granular ant bait was. And then another listener said a flower. I believe it was what it was. So, but anybody's got any, 580-225-9697. What else we got going on? Not a whole lot, because I'm going to go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break and go ahead and get Roger on the line, and we're going to talk cattle and all kinds of things today on the show. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at Corteva.us/LumaviaCPL.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more. So go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Canadian Texas, here's your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. 86, feels like 88. 49 is your humidity, 65 is the dew point. The winds are light out of the southwest at 6 miles an hour. How much rain you guys got? Oh, so far this month, 69 one-hundredths of an inch. 8-inch soil temperature is 84 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now from Eastern Oklahoma is a world-famous Angus guy named Roger Wan. Are you there?
I don't know about the world-famous part. I thought you were going to be talking about somebody else all of a sudden.
No, I'll talk trash on Lori later.
So, yes, please do.
I will. No, she has to be one of my favorite cattle people in the world because she always knows what I need to know. So that she's like my inside information.
That's right. That's right.
But she's a go-getter. You got to give her that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So how you guys been doing?
Oh, we've had a good summer, as most of this area has had. I don't think there's a red spot on the Oklahoma Drought Monitor map at the moment. kind of unique for recent years, and a lot of grass here in eastern Oklahoma, and I think most of the state's in good shape.
Would they, you where are you guys at exactly over there in eastern Oklahoma?
In LaFleur County.
Yeah.
So we're just south of Salisaw, just south of I-40, and the county seat town here is Poteau.
Right. And so, oh yeah, that's right. And if I remember, yeah, that's up in the hills.
Our place here, just to the south of us starts getting pretty hilly.
Right. Yes. And, have you guys seen any issues? You know, there's a lot of difference between Western Oklahoma and Eastern Oklahoma. There's two different worlds. Have you guys seen issues with ticks, foot rot, and stuff like that this year?
It seems like there's always something going on. Last year, for whatever reason, we had a bigger outbreak of pink eye to deal with. We've had very little of that this year. We have had more foot rot this year than we're typically accustomed to. So you just have to be vigilant. Each year's a little different. Weather patterns different contribute to that. And you're just trying to stay on top of those kind of herd health things.
Yeah, I did see one of my articles I get every day here at the station the other day that with all the rain we've been getting in the grass or the forage being taller and everything bigger than normal, you know, to be vigilant and keep an eye out on pink eye.
Right.
And right. So.
And we can sure get some grass seed stuck in the eyes too, and it looks a little bit like pink eye or can present itself that way, but that's not what it is. And so, trying to stay on top of eye problems before they get away from you is always a good thing.
Yeah, because cattle's more valuable than ever right now. So
yes, sir.
You got to be careful. Your cattle are worth a lot of money right now. I take care of my cattle, whether they're cheap or high dollar, but just they're an asset, just a big asset in the pastures right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you just made a trip to the West Coast, and your wife did. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was my first time. I've been to a number of NCBA conventions over the years in various locations. My first time to attend the summer policy or the summer business meetings where policies discussed and there's not a trade show. It's not near as big of a group of people, but it's just to discuss issues that are directly immediately important to the beef cattle industry at this point. And so, well, I attended several different committee meetings. I think the two that I spent the most time at and worked the hardest at to learn would be international trade, and then the one that's on a lot of folks' mind these days, cattle health and well-being, with the movement north of the New World screwworm situation. Got back into Mexico late last fall, has continued to move north through Mexico, and headed certainly in our direction. So those are the two committee meetings I spent the most time at.
Okay, let's go to the let's talk about the trade. And you and I were talking a little bit last night, and you mentioned Brazil and Australia. Tell us what's going on. What we talked about last night.
Okay, so first off, I'm sure no expert on international trade, so I took a lot of notes. I tried to learn a lot, and the discussion was dominated quite a little bit about the actions and reactions to the Trump tariffs and the relaxing of tariffs and putting more tariffs on and the things he was trying to accomplish there to get a better balance of trade. And one thing that's very obvious is that the Trump administration includes agriculture in all of those discussions. So that puts us in a lot stronger situation from negotiations than maybe sometimes we have been in the past. So as I was trying to jot down countries that we export a lot of product to or we import product from, the two countries that to me are being a little harder to work with from a beef standpoint would be Brazil and Australia. So we import more product from those two countries than we send to them. A good portion of that product is lean trim. Brazil, it's a lot of processed stuff, already cooked chili, things that we really don't make very well here. But still, yeah, it's an imbalance of trade, and I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that we can achieve some balance of trade with those countries as well.
Right. And you know, you hear this all the time. We don't need to be importing beef from other countries and all this stuff. And yes, right now we're tight on beef in America just because of this and that, you know, but feedlots are kind of remnant that our carcass weights are at the biggest they've ever been, and et cetera, et cetera. But we have to trade with other countries.
And I couldn't agree with that more. Our export marketplaces do add, the number I saw last week was $413 per head to the value of every carcass processed here in the U.S. A lot of that is we're able to move products, tongues, other things that would just be add to the offal pile here that we would not use. We're able to move some products into an export marketplace to add value to our industry, and all of that adds value to the feeder calves that we market here. If the feed yard and the packer has a place to go with some parts of that calf, it just makes that calf worth more. And so we have to have a balance of trade. We are in a position that we are tight on supplies here, and those supplies are going to get even a little tighter. As our feeder calf numbers have dwindled, there is data that we're beginning to retain some replacement heifers. Very strong data that we've slowed our cow harvest. So we're reaching a level of balance in our cow herd here. And I think over the next couple of years, we could see some increase in the cow herd numbers, certainly not to the numbers we've seen in the past. Our efficiency is still high. Carcass weights are good. But I think I could look out 3 to 5 years from now to where we'll be producing more beef than we are today, and we need a place to go with that product. And we sell some pretty expensive product to our neighbors, Canada, Mexico, certainly Korea, Japan. Or a lot of work being done in the China market right now that's basically off limits to us. But so a lot of work of being. A lot of activity in this area of our business today.
Right. Yeah, because I remember, wasn't last year, it was the year before, Jimmy Taylor was on the show, and he had just got back from overseas, or maybe just one of these business meetings. I don't remember exactly, but he was talking about how the liver and some of the other organs in Africa, where they're lacking a little bit of this mineral in their bodies, this is really helping, and it's becoming more popular over there, and guess who can supply them? We can.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of those products end up in pet treats here, and maybe they have a fair amount of value in pet treats as well here, but hopefully we can find more value on those products in an international marketplace.
I wondered why I didn't like pet treats to eat them. All right, so I told you I wouldn't throw a trick question at you, but this is a question maybe you can answer. If you can't, it's fine. All right, what do you say to a producer that walks up to Roger and says, Roger, I don't care what we're doing with the organs, the special meats that we don't eat in America, and the processor sent it over to Africa or China or wherever, because I don't see any of that money that those processors get with selling those organs of the meat, the byproducts that we don't eat here. What would you say to an individual?
Well, I would say it's all a part of the complex of marketing feeder calves. And I would even liken it similarly to, a producer that says, well, I never see any of the premiums that are paid on certified Angus beef here. But the knowledge that those products have a market somewhere in the world, that certified Angus beef has a market here or somewhere in the world, that knowledge allows feed yards to pay more for calves because they know there's a place they can go with some of them.
Right.
So if we start restricting marketplaces on any of those products, then we start diminishing the value of feeder cans at home.
It's exactly.
It's a simple algebra exercise.
Yes, exactly. That was that. You hit her. You hit that nail right on the hammer, the head with a big hammer, because that's what you don't realize. If the processors are not moving those products and they ended up in pet treats or whatever, the demand's not that well, because you can make too many pet treats in America for sure. And so they're going to give lower money wherever they're buying their cattle to take them to the feedlot. Is that right?
I would agree with that completely.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Have they got any events coming, or any, I guess, business deals coming up with other countries other than China, maybe something in the future that somebody's interested in, or American beef?
I think that is such a fluid. If I knew the accurate answer to that today, it might be different tomorrow. It's a very fluid political environment with as aggressive as our current administration is today on building trade deals at between companies, between countries, between our country and other countries. So it's a very fluid environment today, and it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, the foreign trade always, our exports. I hear everybody complaining about the imports, but I always pay attention to the exports, because somewhere in there, it's surely going to balance it out. And yes, President Trump is playing, I don't know whether he's playing chess or Texas Hold'em with all these countries with these tariffs, because I think it's working from what I've seen the short time it's doing, because he's got some people's attention by doing it.
And I agree with that. And I think he came right out of the gate pretty aggressive. It took a few weeks, a couple of months to start seeing some movement in some of these countries. But I have to think being aggressive in foreign trade is good for all Americans, certainly not just the beef cattle industry, but I'm very happy to be a part of it.
Yes. Roger, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue. We'll talk about the other subject you took some notes on out there in San Diego. How's that?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to take a break, a Wheeler General Store break. We'll be right back.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Fishing. Fishing.
Get ready, Elk City. The 11th annual KECO Kids Fishing Derby and Presidio Family Day is back Saturday, July 19th at Ackley Park from 8 a.m. to noon.
Let's go fishing.
Kids 15 and under can cast their lines in a pond fully stocked with fish. Don't forget the prize fish. Catch a marked one, and you could win $100.
All right!
No pole, no problem. The Oklahoma Fish and Wildlife Team has you covered with fishing poles and bait, plus free t-shirts while they last. And the fun doesn't stop at noon. Presidio Family Day keeps rolling with the carousel and putt-putt open until 1 p.m. So mark your calendar, pack your sunscreen, and join KECO at Ackley Park for a fantastic day of fishing and family fun at the 11th annual KECO Kids Fishing Derby, Saturday, July 19th.
Come on, you fish, take the bait!
Hey, farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Looking for water? F&H Drilling Services has you covered. Residential, commercial, or livestock wells, We drill it all. We also sell and service solar panels, solar pumps, irrigation, and residential pump systems. No water, no well, no problem. F&H is based right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Locally owned, professionally trusted. Call F&H Drilling Services today at 580-225-1781. F&H, water is our business.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and you're back.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner. And they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Northwestern Oklahoma here is your ag weather update. I picked a big city of Sealing. 88 degrees, feels like 91. 68 to dew point. Humidity is 51. Wind out of the southwest at 14. 2.11 inches of rain in the last 10 days. 86 is the 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature. Sunset at 8:56. 30% chance of thunderstorms today. 96 for a high. Tonight, 50% chance of thunderstorms. 69 for a low. And what a change. Rain showers likely tomorrow, 60% chance, and 84 for high. All right, on the phone with me right now is Roger Juan. Roger, who do you like representing the best, OCA, the Angus Association, or the NCBA?
Well, I've been an NCBA member for a very long time. I've tried to be active here in recent years in the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association in a variety of different roles, and 3 years ago was elected to the board of directors of the American Angus Association. So certainly an Angus guy at heart, but the commercial cattle industry is where my true love is in the industry, and a big part of the reason for me wanting to attend these summer meetings to see what all I can learn there.
Well, speaking of the OCA, guess what's coming up?
Yes, sir. Our annual convention is coming up pretty soon, so I'll just take a moment. It's coming up here on the weekend of the 24th and 25th,
yeah.
I believe, are the dates.
Yep.
One quick plug I'll put in, and we're going to talk a little bit about some things going on at the American Angus Association here in a few moments, but
okay.
Kelly Ritalik, our president of Angus Genetics, Inc., and Dr. Dale Warner, from Texas Tech University, a very well-known meat scientist, are going to have a discussion there over red meat yield, maybe some things moving away from the yield grade equation that we use today to help value carcasses. And it was developed in the 60s on some relatively small carcasses that don't represent our industry today. And how do we really get a handle on red meat yield? That session will be worth your time and effort to come to Oklahoma City if you attend, nothing else.
Yes.
So I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Yes, big time. Because I noticed last year that it was dry and hot during the OCA last year.
It was.
And Dr. Peel, and I can't remember the gentleman, I think it was from the meteorologist, I think he was from Colorado. That,
yes,
they were packed, yes, in there to listen to what this market's going to do. And Dr. Peel was right on the mark. He hit it right on the mark. He might not be on time, but he always hits that mark. and then the weather.
You caught me a little off guard there. Matt's the first name of the meteorologist, and I'm going a little bit blank on his last name.
Yes.
He provides all the weather update data for the Cattle Facts organization out of Colorado. And So it's those are two very good sessions to attend.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I thought, well, I ain't gonna miss his name. I can't remember it, but I got to because that was it's super important. And and plus, there's a very good vendor show going on there and lots of good classes going on. Matt Makins, how's that?
That's it. Makins Weather Service.
Lori saved us. Matt Makins, that's it. I don't know why I can't remember that, but they were really two good classes. And if you've never attended the OCA, I'm telling you, it's worth getting a membership and being a member of the OCA and attending that a two-day event, because there's a lot going on. And I've met a lot of people, ranchers, cattlemen, there, not necessarily ranchers, because there's some farmers, cattlemen too. I've met a lot of cattlemen there that I never would have met before.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I think I met you, I think I was with JT, and we was at the Cattlemen's Congress is where I met you. I think
that's where I met you a couple years ago. Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah. And so it was all good. Well, what's going on with the American Angus Association?
Well, if we want to move right to that, I say today, our Angus Genetics group, one of the entities owned by the American Angus Association that's charged with research, genetic evaluation, and trying to have the best genetically described breed of cattle in the world. We have an excellent staff, and I mentioned that Kelly Retallick will be in Norman at the OCA convention to discuss the topics of red meat yield. We're also working on some genetic components of nutrition today, and like we've known, I've told somebody the other day, if you'd have been sitting in a ruminant nutrition class with me at Oklahoma State University in 1984 under Dr. Don Wagner, you would have learned that cattle grazing roughage, like we put cows out on pasture and expect them to perform, they lose energy in the forms of carbon that, when bound with some hydrogen molecules, turn into methane gas. So methane was not a bad word in 1984. We knew it occurred. We suspicioned there were differences in cattle in their level of efficiency. Just didn't really have the technology to measure it, manage it, and determine if there's something there that we can use to make cattle more efficient. And today that technology is a lot different than it was then, so we've entered into a research trial with cows on pasture, on roughage, to determine those differences in methane production, which is energy loss, and this is a nutrition study, and you know, some folks have tried to link it as an environmental study, and that's not what this study is. This is a nutrition cow efficiency study, and I'm excited to see what we can learn. I remember those discussions from 40 years ago in a ruminant nutrition class, and we have tools to do a lot more with that today. And there's a lot going on in that entire arena, some corporate work, some USDA work. Angus has already gone through about a three-year study with Kansas State, a much smaller study than what this upcoming one will be. And based on the results of that study, we're very interested in moving forward to a larger, more encompassing study in different environments, and to be a very complete body of work.
Do you have any little bits and pieces, some interesting facts on any study parts going on that you know of right now?
Well, the experimental design is in place. The objectives of the study are in place and have been, I think, since last fall. Some of the technology that we're going to use to measure the energy loss in the form of methane gas, we're still working on some systems to be accurate at measuring that. I don't know exactly what that timeline is, but being sure we're accurate at what we're doing is the focus of the moment.
Right. That's very important on that deal. And, yeah, and you're right. When you started talking about the American Angus Association, you know, they set the standard for all breeds of cattle, and, they're just, it's wonderful beef. And, I mean, it just set the standards. But the other breeds, don't get me wrong, the other breeds like Charolais and Simmental and et cetera, they're all coming along. But man, Angus Association has set the standard, and it's really helped promote beef, eat beef. You know, because 40 years ago or however long ago was you was at OSU, you know, that was a time frame where medical professionals were saying, you know, too much red meat is not good for you, or red meat's not good for you. Man, has that changed.
Yeah, has that changed. We had the war on fat in those days. Through the decade of the 90s, you know, beef was competing with pork and poultry on price. So we weren't doing a very good job of that. There was a number of different studies. NCBA had a beef quality study. Texas A&M had a supermarket study. And all those studies showed that one in three steaks gave you a poor eating experience. And people just didn't want our product. And thankfully, our industry listened to that. We made management and genetic changes. And now, in what is largely a commodity industry, if we think of agriculture and grain prices and this and that, a commodity industry, beef itself is not a commodity product. We're a very high-priced product, very sought-after product, and not just here in the U.S., but globally, and U.S. beef leads that way. So we're in a great position. I would like to beat the drum in Angus a little bit here, and as the point you made on all the other breeds have made great progress. Our industry is better today, and we keep getting better. But I think the genetic evaluations that have been made available to the members of the American Angus Association by Angus Genetics Incorporated and the predecessor groups of the breed improvement programs at Angus has given all of us here in the field an opportunity to just flat make better cattle.
Exactly. I mean, yes, because And all it does is take a little bit different genetics than what you're used to. Because I've said this before on the show, you know, back in the late 70s and all during the 80s, all your cattle you're taking to the sale barn, you want to have a little ear on it. So, and not so much today. And there's still cattle with ear on it, and they're good. One of my landlords has still got cattle with ear on them, and they raise good calves out of Angus bulls. So, I don't know, the Angus Association, and I'm not saying that because I'm talking to you, but the Angus breed has really stepped up the game in the last 30, 40 years and brought it to a whole new level.
Yes, I couldn't agree with that more. And the formation of Angus Genetics Incorporated in 2008 and making it a separate entity with a direct charge of research, genetic evaluation, the time when the balance of power in the genetic evaluation was shifting away from academia to the corporate sector. And I don't want to think about what we would look like today if we hadn't had a strong leadership in those days. Gerald Callahan would have been chairman of the board of the American Angus Association that knew we needed to do more and be more aggressive at Angus to keep us at the forefront of the industry. And how fortuitous were those decisions in those days.
Right. And also, I might add, the silly part of the whole equation is we have more social media now than we did back in the 80s.
Right. It's easy for a lot of information and misinformation to get spread around on social media. And I became a Facebook person, I think in 2008, 2009, to keep, I'm the oldest of 15 first cousins, to help me keep up with my cousins.
Yeah.
We've gotten pretty scattered as we got older, Facebook has become something a little different than that today, and I feel like I maybe need to reel that back in just a little bit and get back to my original reasons for getting on Facebook.
Exactly right.
Social media has had its influence.
Well, that deal here lately with the study that we were just talking about with the methane gas and all that, I think it was taken wrong and got blown out of proportion. And I think it'll end up being okay. And I really do, because, like you said, that study that you're doing on methane gas and genetics and stuff like that, it's not doing nothing but improving stuff, and it's not to feed the anti-meat people their ammunition salad that they're needing. Yeah, their salad. There you go. That's a good one. So,
it's make cattle better, and we're going to need to see increased production over the next few years. We're going to need to find new sources of customers, and but I think we have to engage society, and we can't hide behind the ranch gate and counter show the fact of how good our cattle are. We've got to get out in front of people and continue to build marketplaces for our product.
Yes. Roger, did you move a little bit? You was kind of breaking up there at the end of that statement.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. I got you now.
Okay, I'm going to turn that away my phone a little bit.
Okay, I got a question for you off the text line. Is a CAB calf that goes to the packer just a black-hided calf?
I'll try to make this answer as brief in the interest of time.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit there, too. I'm sorry. You were sounding good there.
Let me get off speaker and bring it closer to my head there. Would that be better?
Say that again.
Is that better? I took it off speaker.
No, it's sounding the same there. You're kind of just breaking up a little bit.
Let me see if this will be better. Let me try to answer that question.
Okay.
When Southern Angus Beef was founded in 1978, there was only one top-breed cattle, and that would be Angus. So I think it made a lot of sense then that color high color was the first entry into certified Angus Beef. Now, there are 10 carcass characteristics that a carcass has to meet to get that final approval to be a certified Angus Beef carcass. So the original evaluation is on hide color, and then it has to meet these other carcass requirements. And we have done some DNA evaluation of carcasses in recent years, and the carcasses that qualify for CAB are very high percentage Angus genetics, and it certainly the program has worked very well in the industry to increase beef market share in our industry.
I got you. A good answer there. That was a good question. And, Eric, because a lot of people don't know, because I always have fun when I go to a restaurant that says certified Angus beef steaks, and I ask them, the waitress, because I know she doesn't know, most of them don't know, is that red or black Angus? So, and I know red Angus has got nothing to do with the Angus Association, but anyways, it's fun to ask questions like, hey, you got to have a little fun when you go out on a hot date.
Yes, sir. And, you know, it's bring up the red breeds and other breeds. I have no idea how many branded beef programs there are in the industry today. And each of those programs are bringing value to our industry. The CA was the first and kind of paved the way, but there are a lot of good programs out there that bring extra value to our feed steps.
Roger, I know you just get back from the meeting out in California, and I appreciate you taking your time out today to talk with me on the show and stuff, and I look forward to seeing you here in less than 2 weeks.
If I had a moment, the squidworm situation, I'd like to say just a word there if I could.
Just lost you. Are you there? Roger, you there? Hello. Okay. It must be a signal going on out there. So I've lost him. But again, that was Roger Wan with American Angus Association and a proud member of the NCBA and the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Otis Crane in Elk City, Oklahoma, where reliability meets strength. From the 50-ton truck cranes to the powerful 165-ton GMK cranes, they have the right equipment to get the job done 24/7. Specializing in setting oil field equipment, Otis Crane is trusted for its precision and dedication. And they're a proud supporter of local communities and high school sports. Otis Crane, your trusted partner in lifting and logistics.
Reap the rewards of buying a new zero-turn mower from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. You'll enjoy discounted cash prices or financing with approved credit. A free t-shirt and cap, DJ's discounts, and a large selection of in-stock blades, belts, and OEM parts. They'll take care of any warranty work that needs to be done, and you'll have the peace of mind that comes with making a purchase from a business you know and trust. DJ's is your authorized Spartan, Cub Cadet, and Hustler mower dealer located on South Main in Elk City.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 23rd. 861 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 428 brought 435. 18 at 490 brought 392.50. 8 at 586 brought 335. 9 at 612 brought 344. 12 at 636 brought 328. 31 at 885 brought 282. 8 at 922 brought 284. 10 head of heifers at 475 brought 370. 13 at 715 brought 296. 23 at 751 brought 289, 9 at 776 brought 285, 39 at 784 brought 280, 16 at 825 brought 278, butcher cows were 119 to 175, butcher bulls brought 159 to 207, bred cows 2,075 to 3,025, pairs brought 3,375 to 3,800. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-60.
Mark your calendar. July 15th, XIT Auctions will be selling 200 acres of good Ouachita County grass just north of Sentinel, Oklahoma. There's an 80-acre track and a 120-acre track, both located on Highway 44. For more information, call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or check the details out at xitauctions.com. Also selling 2 bank-owned homes, same day, same place. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, sorry about the bad connection with Roger. He has had full bars and everything, but it was just breaking up. So I'm going to finish this interview with him at the OCA convention, because we're going to talk about the New World Screwworm, and we'll reiterate this deal with the color hide going to a processor for CAB. We'll redo that, so... Again, thanks again, Roger, and thanks, Lori, for hitting me up about him. Currently at Cordell, Oklahoma, it's 82 degrees, feels like 84. The temperature is 66. Humidity's 59. I'm sorry, the dew point 66, not temperature. And 66 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 10 days. 87 is the three-day average four-inch bare soil temperature. Sunset at 8:54. 20% chance of thunderstorms today, 95. 40% chance tonight and 71 for low. Tomorrow, 80% chance of thunderstorms and 86 for a high. And that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Cordell America. Anyway, what you guys going to do this weekend? Oh, I did get a little breakdown on the Foss Lake deal. So it's kicking off right now here in a few minutes with food trucks, lights, and then ceremonies at 7:30 tonight at the Cedar Point Circle, honoring veterans and community leaders. Then Saturday, got 5K run in the morning at 7 o'clock, kayak trail ride at 10 a.m., duct tape boat races at 2 o'clock. That's for all ages, so it doesn't matter. Donnie Walker, if you're going, I know you're in your 80s, but you can still get it. And then the street dance of the Dean Jackson Band. 8 to 11, fireworks at 9:40 tomorrow night. You guys have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to Cousin K's Cranky Old Cap Woman Cafe. See you guys tomorrow, or Monday. Have a great day. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.